You are about to be inspired, motivated, and your life changed. Are you ready? Welcome to the God's Love Podcast. Here's your host, David Mastin.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the God's Love Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me on this night, this morning, this evening, wherever you're joining us. I appreciate you and appreciate you really hanging in there while I took a little bit of a break. 2 weeks since the last newest episode. But God is good. Glad I'm here. Glad that have a word. It sounds so churchy. I'm sorry. It's in me, I guess. Somebody, you know, whenever somebody's getting ready to say something deep, they say, "Oh, I got a word from the Lord." And whatever. Excuse me. Today, again, I say it every day, every podcast. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate all of you for, either liking, sharing. Please go to the God's Love M, like Mary.com, website, purchase your apparel. We have hoodies, t-shirts. We have some, God's Love Ministries hats and face masks. Please purchase, all of the proceeds. They go to help so that we can do more things. So please, godslovem.com, godslovem.com, go purchase your apparel. We have some, God's Love Equals Patience, like God's Love Equals Peace. Some God Plus Me, merchandise, which we'll get into later, in the week. We'll talk about joining together with God and what that means, for our lives. But please, godslovem.com, please go get your apparel. All right. Now that we've got that out the way, today I want to talk about discernment. And so here's the deal. Last week, I had recorded this episode on discernment, and I didn't like it. It was very, very scripted. It was very, very choppy. I didn't necessarily like the content either. I didn't feel like I was speaking from the heart. I was mostly speaking from a sheet of paper. And, though having notes is good, I never want it to be a full-fledged sermon, if you will, right? This is our time to share, for you to learn with me, for me to be transparent, to teach you what God is teaching me, and for us to grow together. Okay, so discernment. When you think about discernment, most of the time, whenever it's talked about, most of the time, whenever discernment is discussed, discernment is talked about in the sense of there's this feeling that I have, that something's not right. Or there's this feeling or this overwhelming, emotional description that says, I'm not going to go there or I'm not going to go there. Right. Growing up, I would say it was, you know, before I got saved, I would say it was intuition. You know, women always talk about women's intuition, and they know when men are cheating, and they know when men aren't interested anymore. And really what they mean by saying that is their discernment, right? They are making a judgment based upon either how they feel or evidence that they see. And when we talk about discernment, we can use an example of this. Paul writes in Corinthians, and he talks about there being a spiritual gift. And one of the spiritual gifts that he talks about is the gift of discerning spirits. We know that we are, though we are natural beings, we are also spirit. And even your non-believer, even your agnostic believers, or maybe not agnostic, agnostic believers, I won't say believers because they don't believe, in God. They believe in something. They just don't believe in God. Even those that do yoga, or those that, may not necessarily go to church, or believe in Jesus, there are people that believe in a spiritual realm. There's people that believe in ghosts. I don't know how you can believe in the ghost and not believe in God, but hey, you know, I'm not going to try to theologically break down that logic, because it's just some things that's not worth the time. But I will say this, that when the Bible is talking about discerning of spirits, it's saying that, hey, there's a person that God gives a gift to, a spiritual gift, through the Holy Spirit, that says this is a spirit of lust, or this is a spirit of perversion, this is a spirit of sex. This is, I mean, not sex. This, I said perversion, so I thought it was sex. Or sexual activity. This is a spirit of divination, or this is a spirit of witchcraft, whatever, right? And they are able to call it out, right? They'll be able to discern what it is. And so what that means is they are able to make a decision. They're able to judge based off of the Holy Spirit that is on the inside of them, that has given them the gift to discern it. When you have a gift like that, it doesn't turn on. It doesn't turn off. It is something that you always have. And so in saying that, when you have that type of spiritual gift, you're able to discern spirits. You're able to make a judgment based off of the Holy Spirit. It is very critical that we understand that whenever we are discerning something, it is coming from something, right? So, it's never just an out of the blue type deal. It's always going to be, a discernment that's coming from the Holy Spirit. It could be based off something that you see. It could be based off something, that maybe a friend told you. Whatever the case may be, you've made a decision, you've discerned that this situation is going to end up a certain way, right? And I'll say this, most of the time that discernment, especially if you're a believer, comes from the Holy Spirit, right? But there's three ways as a child of God, and we're going to talk about this. There's three ways as a child of God that you and I can discern. There's three ways that you and I can discern, or should use discernment. First, we should, to clarify, discernment is critical for the child of God. The discernment is critical because you have a foe who cannot be seen unless you have a spiritual gift. The spiritual gift of seeing spirits, or discerning spirits. You have a foe that cannot be seen. He is not physical. He does not have a physical body. He does not have a physical makeup. He is spiritual, and he is as a roaring lion looking to whom he may devour. He's always on the prowl. He's always seeking. He's always being deceptive. The Bible says in Genesis that he uses now one of the most subtle animals in the garden. He uses the serpent. He uses a snake because the snake is slithery. The snake is subtle. You don't notice the snake. You don't notice that he's there. He's subtle. He sneaks up on you. Unless he's a rattlesnake, you won't even know he's in the area because he slithers his way in and out. He can get into trees. He can get up high into posts. He can slide in and slide out. And it's important that you're able to notice or to discern him. It's good that you can discern good and evil, that you're able to decipher what is right and what is wrong. An example of this would be the Word of God. The Bible says that the Word of God is like a two-edged sword. It cuts asunder. It cuts going in and it cuts going out. But the important part of the scripture is that it has the ability to discern right from wrong. Let me grab the scripture here for us, because I like to give y'all the scripture. I like to make sure that y'all are able to be able to know where to go, so that y'all don't think I'm just making all this up and I'm just coming from random places, right? Okay, so Hebrews 4 verse 12, and it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner." The word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. It can discern what your intentions are. Man, the Word of God can discern what's in your heart. He can discern what's in your spirit. He can discern your emotions and how you feel, and it can separate it from right to wrong. So the first thing that we want to talk about in regards to discernment and the importance of it, is something that we use to help us to discern, understand, going back to a point that I made. I want to reiterate this. In order to have discernment, you have to have an intuition, or you have to have it has to come from something, right? Again, it's either going to come from, in order to make a decision, you have to have an entity, you have to have knowledge, you have to see something in order to make a decision, right? It has to be, more than just you, right? It has to be you plus, then you discern. Okay, so, and I'll prove it. Remember the scripture that we just read in regards to the Word of God. It has the ability to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It can decipher what is the thoughts and the intents of the heart and of the and the thinking of the mind and the emotion. It has the ability to correct that, right? And so, without that, you cannot correct. It is just the thought is just there. The intent is just there because you can't read intentions. You don't know intentions. Even if somebody does something bad, somebody can do something bad and not necessarily have bad intentions. Happens all the time. If you get into a car accident, somebody runs into the back of you. They didn't intend to run into the back of you. They didn't have bad intentions. Now, maybe some cases they did, but they didn't have bad intentions. You do not know intentions. All you know is heart in action, right? You don't know intentions. You can't see intentions. However, you can discern intentions. Now, and again, the importance of being as a believer, as a child of God, even if you're not a child of God, you need to be able to discern, to be able to make good decisions and judgments based off scenarios and situations of life. But if you are a child of God specifically, you need to be able to discern. Why? Because discernment will give you a warning or a headshot that this that is coming is not of God. And that you should either go the other way or prepare for war, because what is coming is not of God. It was not sent of God. So, how do we decipher this? There's three ways we talked about, and we said this in the beginning. It's three ways that we can discern. One of them is just what I just read, was the word of God. The word of God can help us to discern what is right and what is wrong. I'll give you an example. The Bible talks about Adam and Eve. When Eve goes to the fruit, the serpent goes to talk to Eve, and the serpent is telling Eve these lies, these half truths. He's telling her not to eat of, you know, what did God say? Did he say you couldn't eat of the fruit? She says, we can eat of everything, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we can't. And he says to her, we're not supposed to eat or touch. And then the serpent comes back and says, you shall not surely die, for God knows that, once you eat of it, that you shall be like him. All right. Discernment at this point, done. It's gone, right? Number one, discernment should have kicked in once she's found that the serpent is trying to converse with her in regards to God. Now, there's a lot of theories in about that, that we're not going to get into. The second thing that she should have discerned was that when the serpent tried to convey to her to do something that was against the word of God, the word of God told her, the word that was spoken with her was to not eat of this fruit, right? The word spoken over both Adam and Eve was don't eat of the fruit, right? So when, what the devil does to us to make us reject the word of God is to lower our discernment, number one, of who he is in whatever it is he's trying to get us to do. And number two, to try to lessen the power of obedience to the word of God. Okay. The devil does not want you to obey God. The devil does not want you to obey the Lord. The devil does not want you to succeed with God. So what he's going to do is present you with a fruit that you know good and well God told you not to eat. There's no question about it. He told you not to eat it. Now, here's the deal. He tells you not to eat it. And as soon as she is enticed, more than likely she's hungry. She sees this fruit. The Bible says she looks at it. She says that it looks good. It's pleasing to one's eyes. It looks good. It looks delicious. I'm hungry. I want to eat. And it looks good. And it's, and according to the serpent, it's going to make me wise. So why wouldn't God want me to have this? Maybe I misheard God. Maybe God told me the wrong thing. Maybe God was directing me the wrong way. And he causes us to lower our discernment of who he really is and what he's trying to get us to do. Understand, y'all, that we have to discern when he's coming and probably what she should have done was, as soon as he said to her, you shall not surely die, she should have turned the other way. She should have walked away right then and there. Nope, this is not what the word, this is not the word, this is against what the word, this is against what the word of God said. So because this is against what the word of God says, I'm not doing it. That's exactly what she should have did. That's exactly what she should have said. But she didn't. She went on ahead, ate that daggone fruit. Fruit probably tastes real good too. Probably was delicious. Probably was juicy. Probably was ripe. But it caused eternal damage immediately. Boom. Right? We as child of God, we use the word of God to discern right from wrong. We do not operate like everybody else. We do not operate by the statutes of the world. We operate by the word of God. What does his word tell us to do? And so what the devil does is he tries to limit that word. He tries to pervert that word. He tries to corrupt that word. He tries to water down that word so that you don't follow it. But the word of God, the Bible says, is a light unto my feet, and a lamp unto my path. In other words, the word of God helps me to see the potholes that I may be getting ready to run into. And it also helps me to see far away so that I can be able to judge if this is the way, if that's the way, or should we go this way or that way. Some things God is silent on because it's in his word already for you not to do it. When he smelled good, he tried to tell you he loved you. He tried to tell you everything, sweet in the world. You was horny. You was hot. You was bothered. and he said the right thing, and immediately your discernment went down. You chose pleasure over discernment. And we do it all the time. You know, nobody's perfect. I do it. We all do it. But sometimes, if we're not careful, turning down, our discernment can cause ramifications that are deadly. Like Adam and Eve, we turn down our discernment. It could be life or death. But we gotta use one of the tools that God has given us to help discern the times, to be able to help discern our enemy. And that is the word of God. That's number one. The second thing that he gives us is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Bible says, Jesus says, shall lead us into all truth. It is going to verify. It is our source that tells us whether or not what we're trying to do, if it is wrong. Whew, I'm about to throw something at you. The Spirit is not going to tell you to do something that is against God's word. The Spirit is not going to tell you to do something that is contrary to what the word of God says. If it tells you to do something against the principles that God has set up, then, my friend, you are operating under your emotions and not the Spirit. It is very, gotta play a very, is a very thin line. I know you hucked a buck. I know you spoke in tongues. I know you cried. I know that you danced, you ran around the church, you was hot, you was sweaty. But that does not mean that is the Holy Spirit. It could mean that that is you. And what we have to do is to be able to discern the difference. And one of the things is that the Holy Spirit is going to lead us into all truth. In order for the Spirit to lead us into all truth, I have to be willing to lower, to lower my flesh or fight my flesh, so that the Spirit can be strong. Man, my God, in order for me to for the Spirit of God to have full effect in my life, I have to be willing, Paul said, to mortify the deeds of the flesh. I have to kill that off. One minister, Pastor E. Dewey Smith, said you have to have a funeral. You have to bury your old self. You have to disown your old self. Jesus said, unless a man deny himself, pick up his cross and follow me, he cannot be my disciple. Deny self means to disown. I have to be able to disown me so that the Spirit of God can be strong and have full effect and lead me and speak to me and be able to tell me where to go. And who is this the right way? Is that the right way? Lord, lead me into all truth. That's the second thing. And the third and last thing that we're going to talk about, and man, I'm so excited because it looks like I'm going to end on time. And the last thing, the third thing is he uses godly relationships. He uses individuals who are godly to be able to lead us and to help us into making good, sound decisions, to be able to discern. Okay. Discern. Now, let me read your scripture. I'm going to read your scripture. It's in Psalms. Or no. I think it's, it may be Proverbs. Give me a second. So it says this, Proverbs 13 and 20, walk not in the way of evildoers. He that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I gotta find this one scripture for us. Because it's so important. Give me a second. Proverbs 4:14 through 18 says, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fail. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. So he says, listen, I want you to know who to connect with in your life. He says, I want you to know that don't connect with foolish people and stay away from individuals that are wicked and are evildoers. Man, oh man, he says, don't join yourself with them. Make sure that you understand that you join yourself with people who are going to be wise and people that are not going to do wicked things. So if he's telling you to stay away from wicked things or people that do wicked things, that must mean that you should be connecting with individuals who are righteous. It does not mean perfect, but it means that individuals who are striving to live the same life that you are living, people who have the same passion to live for God that you have. It does not mean that in totality. And I know a lot of times when we talk about this, that, you know, we start thinking of the rules. It's not about the rules. It's about individuals who are doing the best they can to live for God. He says connect with these individuals, and when we connect with them, they will help us to be able to discern good and evil. They'll be able to help us to understand that, hey, this isn't the right way. You shouldn't do it this way. You should do it that way. Don't you see this way is evil and that way is good? The one thing, man, I pray to God, oh, God, help us. I pray to God that we stop doing is we stop allowing friends who don't know nothing about nothing direct us on what we should be doing in our lives. We got friends. I've never seen situations where friends that they never been through a divorce try to tell you how to go through one. Friends who don't have no kids try to tell you what you should do with your kids. People that's trying to get you to do mischief to people and trying to get you to do wrong to people, and you going along with it because it satisfies your flesh. It satisfies what you think. It goes along with what you like, and so therefore you'd rather hang around them instead of hanging around righteous people. But the Bible says that we should make connections with people who are righteous, who are doing things the right way. Why? Because they are not going to be afraid to call you out on your wrongness. They are not going to be afraid to tell you about who you are. They are not going to be afraid to tell you about what you shouldn't be doing. Man, when you hanging around wise people, I was just talking to a friend of mine the other day. And he said to me, he said, man, if I ever found out you was doing something silly and stupid, I come over here and you and I we're going to have a conversation, right? And I would do the same with him, right? And that's the kind of friend that you want. Man, you doing wrong, man. That's wrong. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have said that. We call that an accountability partner. You need people that's going to hold you accountable for when you are wrong. And they should be and you shouldn't have an attitude just because they came to you and said, hey, Negro, I'm sorry, I probably said, because I know it's more people just black people watching, but hey, man, you should not have done that. You should not have said that. You went too far. You said too much. You did too much. You need people in your life that are going to be able to help you make sound decisions, to help you to discern what is good and evil. Sometimes, God will use those good godly relationships, and will speak to them and say, tell them, don't go that way. Go this way. You should do this. You, instead of doing that. And the reason why I'm talking about this today is because in a world where everybody has an opinion about everything, and in a world where we all can easily get this ununified and not, you know, misplaced and have our own thing, it's important that we have discernment so that we are not continuing the same traps, and that we know and we recognize when Satan's head is popping up, and that we're prepared to either go the other way or stand up and war. Today, I'm praying for you. And today I'm praying that your faith in God is strong and that He increases our discernment so that we can make the right decisions in life and make the right judgments in life. Not the false ones, not the illicit ones, right judgments, right decisions. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much. I thank you, God, for godly relationships. I thank you for your word, and I thank you for your spirit. And God, I appreciate you for what you've done. I appreciate you for who you have been in our lives. I pray for our listeners and that, Lord God Jesus, you bless them, Lord God Jesus, to have a heightened, that their discernment be heightened. Father, we need it. We need it, Lord God, so we can fight the good fight. And that, Lord God Jesus, we can tell from a mile away, Lord God, what's coming and what's behind somebody's spirit, oh God. And you know, we tend to, you know, give up so easily and all those things, myself included, God. And in order for us to remain steadfast and to have the life that you have called us to have, we need discernment. So Father, help us in our discernment. Increase it and help us as we go. Father, I thank you so much. For you are a great God, and we believe that you're going to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all so much for joining me on today's podcast. Please like, share, and subscribe. Share this with somebody if it blessed you, if it's helping you. Please, by all means, share, subscribe, like. Don't forget GodsLoveM.com. Please go get your apparel. I would greatly appreciate it, y'all. Thank y'all so much. You've been amazing. The love that you've shown is amazing. I appreciate each and every one of you. You all have an amazing day, night, morning, whatever it may be while you're listening. Please be safe. Maybe you're driving in the car, whatever it may be. God be with you. God bless you. And man, I can't wait till we talk again. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the God's Love Podcast. Subscribe, share, and stream on all podcast streaming outlets.